DW News live from Berlin. Americans brace for a tough week ahead. U.S. President Donald Trump warns that the death toll from the coronavirus could rise significantly. That's as the number of cases in the country tops 300,000. We look at how the U.S. is coping.
No!
Living in self-isolation is one thing, but life on lockdown with kids, one of whom is a preschooler, well, that's something else altogether. DW's Alex Forrest Whiting reports from the confines of her home here in Berlin. I'm Mariana Evanstein. It's good to have you with us. U.S. President Donald Trump told Americans that the coming week will bring the reality of the coronavirus pandemic to American shores. Numbers of infections and deaths are spiraling while public health officials struggle to equip hospitals with what they need. President Donald Trump seems to have largely stopped downplaying the scale and the danger while U.S. citizens adapt to the precautions needed to limit the spread of the virus.
Reality bites. Refrigerated trucks outside a Manhattan hospital to store bodies because the morgue is full, under the gaze of the Empire State Building. On the street, signs that people realize it's serious. New Yorkers now wear masks and gloves in public. Soldiers are deployed to help. Extraordinary times, and even aid from unusual places.
I love that expression. You go to war with what you have, not what you need, right? We're not at the apex, so we're still in the stage where we have the luxury, if you will, of gathering as much as we can. So the 1,000 ventilators, and we're from China, and the 140 from Oregon, and we're still shopping.
The rest of the United States is watching. New Orleans has opened a medical support facility and a convention center to ease the strain on local hospitals. It'll take COVID patients too sick to be at home, but who don't need intensive care.
Right now, as is being accurately reported, New Orleans, that region, Orleans, Jefferson Parishes, that's the biggest hotspot. That's where we're most likely to exceed our capacity to deliver health care the soonest, and so that's where we're working.
The pandemic is not only spreading fear, it's also awakening gratitude for those risking their health for others.
Oh, it's nice. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Give us hope.
I'm joined now by Tobias Kort. He's a professor of public health and epidemiology at the Charité Medical Center here in Berlin. And he's also worked at the Harvard School of Public Health in the United States. Professor, thank you so much for joining us. Now, you are familiar with both the German and American healthcare systems. So in your assessment, what are the main differences in how the two countries have been dealing with the coronavirus crisis?
I think the difference is certainly in the healthcare system, where the United States have a very good system for a small section of the population, but on average, it's certainly not as well developed as in Germany. And the other problem certainly in the United States is that the reaction to the pandemic has been a little bit late, and so the preparedness, getting ready for what is coming, has been not to the levels that you wish it would have been.
Well, you mentioned that the U.S. responded rather late. I understand you are in contact with colleagues in the U.S. Is there another reason why this crisis has accelerated so quickly in America, and especially in hotspots like New York?
Well, the spread of the virus is something that we certainly have predicted in terms of how fast the virus crosses the countries and the continents, if you wish. What is difficult to assess is really how the healthcare system kicks in, what is necessary, what material is available, face masks, ventilators, and others. And so if you have a situation such as in Italy, Spain, in some regions in France, now in New York, where suddenly you are on the edge and over the edge of the healthcare system and the medical teams are able to handle or not to handle the situation anymore, then things collapse and that will then increase, further increase the number of people who die.
So what would be your advice for authorities in the U.S.? What measures should they be taking to ease the burden on the healthcare system?
The experts in the United States say similar things as most of the research in the world, that now not social distancing, but physical distancing actually is the key here to really help slowing the spread of the virus. We cannot stop this pandemic, but we can slow the rate of new infections per time unit so that the healthcare system is not going over its limits and can stabilize. And soon as that's done, you need to identify new clusters of infection and really isolate those clusters to further inhibit the spread of the infection. So best thing to do now is really to imply strict physical distance rules to really protect those who are at risk to get severe COVID-19 and who are at risk of dying from the disease.
All right, Tobias Kort, professor of public health and epidemiology at the Charité Medical Center in Berlin. We appreciate all of your insights.
You're welcome.
Well, let's get you an update now of some other coronavirus developments around the world. More than 1.2 million people have been infected with the virus worldwide. That's almost twice as many as just a week ago. South Sudan has confirmed its first case of coronavirus. The patient who arrived in the country from Ethiopia is being treated in isolation. Meanwhile, in Spain, the death toll has dropped for a third consecutive day, with 674 fatalities registered in the past 24 hours. Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez says his country was, quote, starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And Bangladesh's prime minister has announced an $8.5 billion package intended to mitigate the economic impact of the pandemic. Well, with the coronavirus keeping millions of people around the world indoors, many are struggling to ward off boredom and keep a positive attitude. Well, add young kids to the mix, and you've got a situation that's challenging even for the most patient of parents. DW's Alex Forrest Whiting is one of them, and she gave us this inside look at her new normal from the confines of her Berlin apartment.
Welcome to our home, which is now also the home office, the home school, and the home kindergarten. This is my husband, Nick, working in what's supposed to be a bedroom. This is Charlie, who's almost 10 and usually found slogging it out at the kitchen table with his mountain of homework. And this is 3-year-old Cecilia, known as Cece, who is the one member of the family thriving in this new reality. We live in an apartment in Berlin, right next to a rather beautiful church, but we don't have access to a garden or even a balcony. So at times, things can feel a little bit claustrophobic.
No, you can't.
Nannte man im alten...
Stop. Mum, stop.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Me, 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 me. It's so hard not to laugh. This is hell.
Cece, put it all into the box for me.
Everyone has to help out around the flat. Well, I say help.
No!
But there are also some fun things about having to stay home.
Going on a bear.
Every morning, Cece can meet her kindergarten friends and teachers online. And because we can't go outside much, we try to do some exercise inside each day.
What big teeth you have!
We've even done a reenactment of the fairy tale Little Red Riding Hood. Well, it does help having a designer as a husband, even if he did make me play the old grandmother. Look, I'm not going to pretend that this is all easy. It isn't. But what we are trying to do is to appreciate what we do have, which is each other.
And that report was by our very own Alex Forrest-Whiting, and she joins me now from home, of course. Alex, very good to see you. Well, at least from your report, it seems all of you are dealing with the coronavirus restrictions about as well as anyone can expect. But I can imagine it is very challenging, especially the homeschooling. How has that been going?
Yeah, Mariana, you know this as well as I do. It's been incredibly intense for all of us, for Charlie, for his sister, and for us as parents. And I think particularly for our son, because his school is expecting every day still to be seen as a normal academic school day. So he has to follow the normal timetable. And that puts a lot of pressure on him and a lot of pressure on us. Now, we know why schools are doing that. They want to keep up academic standards. But we are parents. We're not teachers. And yet we find ourselves in the position where we are both. We didn't choose to homeschool. In fact, many countries across the world, including Germany, have said that homeschooling is illegal. And yet now more than a billion young people and children are being homeschooled because of the coronavirus.
Well, it sounds like your school is sending a lot of work home. Our school, the school of my children, hardly sends anything at all. I mean, does this mean there could be an entire generation of children who are set back if this lockdown continues for months? I mean, not everybody is keeping up with the schoolwork, are they?
Yeah, it's a very good question and a very good point. And I think it's worrying many across the globe. Some people will say, yes, it is going to be very difficult for children. For example, in the United Kingdom, major examinations are being cancelled for over the next few months. So that's causing some anxiety. But also, I think for many others, there are people who say it's not going to make a difference. Children will pick things up when they get back to school or while they're at home. They'll find the right rhythm. I've spoken to a number of teachers myself who've said the most important thing you can do is to encourage your children to read or to read to them if they can't read themselves. And let's not forget that many schools are harnessing technology. They are doing what they can to try to get kids into a so-called virtual classroom by using video conferencing apps and things like that. And that certainly helped. For example, in France, they've set up something called My Classroom at Home. It's a platform for all children. They have 4 weeks of courses, and they are geared towards an individual child's needs.
All right, DW's Alex Forrest-Whiting, thank you so very much for speaking to us from your home office. We appreciate it. Well, here's a look now at some other stories this hour. Authorities in southeastern France have officially opened a terrorism inquiry following a knife attack. The suspect is accused of killing two people and wounding five others on Saturday. He was arrested shortly after the attack. Evidence found in his home points towards a religious motive. An explosion in a coal mine near the Colombian capital Bogota has killed 11 miners and injured four more. The cause of the blast is being investigated. The accident comes just one day after another deadly incident at a mine in the country's northeast. Well, for Christians around the world, today is Palm Sunday, an important date in the religious calendar and the start of Holy Week leading up to Easter. But in these days of the corona pandemic, everything, of course, is different. St. Peter's Square in the Vatican was deserted this morning. Usually it's full of Catholics who gather to hear the Pope. Instead, Pope Francis live-streamed the traditional Palm Sunday Mass as the faithful have been instructed to stay at home. In the United States, the National Basketball Association, the NBA, has announced its Hall of Fame class for 2020. And the list is headlined by the late Kobe Bryant. The superstar player who retired from basketball in 2016 made the cut for the Hall of Fame in his first year of eligibility. He won five NBA championships with the Los Angeles Lakers, and he's widely considered to be one of the greatest to ever play the game. He died in a helicopter crash in late January of this year. And that's the latest from DW News. I'll be back again at the top of the hour with another update for you. I'm Mariana Evanstein. From me and the entire team